Now, that thing I was saying is, I just want to remind us about it again, in case somebody hasn't heard it before. Some people may have heard me saying it while I was praying. Say, what was he talking about? The truth is that in the case of Jonah, for those who do not know, go and read that portion of the book of Jonah again. Jonah was in the belly of the fish. Well, it was not in the belly of the fish. Where was he? It was in the belly of the boat. All right? It was when the boat began to, you know, misbehave because of the wave that he found himself inside the waters. And let me say something to you again. God does not joke. You know, we've been talking about the survival and the death of Moses. We've been talking about the survival of Moses, how he survived the first experience in the book of Exodus chapter 4, when God came to kill him. And it wasn't the devil that came to kill him. It was God that came to kill him. And he survived. And we discussed how he survived. And I said that God wasn't joking. If Zipporah had not done what he did, then he would have died. And that's a matter of fact. And the same vein, when Jonah was thrown into the water, he was going to drown. Do you understand? And they go and read that book of Jonah. When he found that he was drowning, all right, just quickly open to it. We've talked about it before. At least you can go and get, I don't even know which of the messages. But it's not poor Jonah. The one of poor Jonah is another one. In verse 17 of chapter 1, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, that's verse 2, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. Now, this was him praying and saying that I've already prayed. I don't know whether you get my point. This prayer was a second round prayer in which he was telling us what happened the first time. He said, I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Thou didst hear my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. That is, this is not the heart of the seas. Now, this is the stomach of the fish where he's in. But there was a time it was in the heart of the seas. The current engulfed me, and all thy breakers and billows passed over me. And then I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. He said, water encompassed me to the point of death. Are you seeing that? That is, the man was saying that he was drowning. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. That is the very bottom, all right, of the ocean. The earth with his bars was around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. Now, you've seen that is, as I was drowning, as I was beginning to lose consciousness, as waters, all right, were beginning to enter, water was beginning to enter into my lungs, and I was becoming hypoxemic, like the doctors would say, all right, that I was fainting away. At that time, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee, into thy holy temple, and he said all of these things. Now notice, why am I reading this again? The Bible says to us that Jonah prayed this prayer from the stomach of the fish. That is, in that stomach of the fish, he was referring to the things that he said earlier. Are you getting my point? He was referring to the prayers he prayed as he was drowning. And that's what I'm trying to tell us again. It was in this particular place that he was giving thanks. This time around, he was not particularly asking God for anything again. He had prayed his prayer while he was in the belly and inside the waters. And now he was thanking God for the amount of deliverance that he has already experienced. All right, so he was thanking God that even though he wasn't the place where he really would have loved to be, but the fact is that he's not in the place where he used to be. Are you getting my point? Let me just say it to us again. One major problem people have in life is that they complain too much. What did I say? No, that was not what I said. This is what I said. One major problem people have in life is they complain too much. What did I say? And you, listen, you will have done yourself a great, or you'll have put yourself into a great path leading to a great blessing if you just stop whining. That's a matter, what I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. Why do people complain? It is simple. This was not what where I expected I would be at this particular point in time. You think Jonah thought he would be in the stomach of a fish at that particular point in time? No, if you think he thought so, say amen. All right, so he didn't think so. And that belly of the fish definitely was not exactly a comfortable place. But when he looked back and realized that there was a time he was drowning, there was enough to give God thanks for. Remember what I said about Derek Prince? The reprint said he didn't have any ambition. He just was following the Lord, and he watched his life unfold. You understand? So much that by the time he was an old man, the whole world had been blessed by his ministry. What am I saying? Even though you are not in the place where you thought you would have been by now, it doesn't mean anything. It just means that's not the direction God is facing. It doesn't mean, it just simply means that's not the pace, all right, that he's running by. That is why you must always give thanks. Do you get my point? That's why you must never... Complaining is a horrible thing. Why am I talking about it? Maybe some people came here complaining today. All right, so I think it's important. I just feel like I've hit where I'm supposed to be. I'll stay there for a while, then we'll finish our teaching, and then we'll leave here. And, you know, I thought about it. God hates people. Not people themselves, but the idea of people complaining. He does not like it. Let me say it to you clearly. The Lord despises complaining. Let me say it again. If you want me to say it again, say amen. Okay. You think you have heard it enough? No, I don't agree. You will hear it one more time. The Lord despises. Did you see how I chose my word? You know what? Why he killed people in the wilderness? That's the very reason. They murmured in the wilderness. What was the issue? They left Egypt. Hey, we have left Egypt. Then they were hungry. Then they turned to Moses. You should have just explained to us that this was your plan between you and God. You call this deliverance? Okay, the house of bondage we are coming from. After all, there were cucumbers there. Garlic. Now, I don't know why we should brag on the presence of garlic. And everybody was, and listen, God decided that, all right, let me kill these people now. Moses had to beg. Please, I hope you're following my point. You know what that tells you? The Lord hates complaining. Please, tell your neighbor. Please now, I'm begging you. Help me. The Lord hates complaining. Please don't complain. It's important. I was saying to you earlier, you know why people complain? One of the major reasons, one, they made up their minds well, what should be happening in their life by now. And if it's not happening, whining. And then sometimes they choose their own reward. That's the one that's very interesting. After I've served God persistently and diligently for this period of time, then God will do this one and do this one and do that one. And you know one thing the Lord does, he never agrees. Most people make one-sided deals. They wake up, tell God, this is what we are going to do. I don't know whether you get my point. They will wake up and tell the Lord, this is what we are going to do. So the Lord says, okay, I'm here. I am going to serve you for 4 years. I will leave every other thing. I won't pursue money. I'm going to be going to church. I'm going to be reading the Bible. I'm going to be praying and fasting every day. No food till 12 noon. Intense prayer. 4 years, I will be evangelizing. I will be counting the souls. There will be a record book. The Lord said, okay. At the end of 4 years, it will be time for my breakthrough. I'm hearing. All right, so you are going to do that. The Lord said, I'm watching. So the guy will start. The young woman will start. Walk. People will see him. Laboring. He's in church. Evangelism, the guy is in front. Everywhere going. At the end of 4 years, nothing happened. 50 years. Lord, I thought we agreed on this. No, because we didn't agree. You were talking, I was listening. 50 years, nothing shows. He starts a business, he collapses. He said, Lord, 4 years, then he starts whining. Why is he whining? Because he apportioned his own inheritance. He apportioned his own reward. He calculated everything. And if God is not meeting up to expectation, we should complain. It's one major reason why people complain. Another reason, my mate, please, I beg, do me another preaching favor. Tell your neighbor, you not get mate. You not get to. Hear ye the word of the Lord, you not get mate. This is the example I like to give all the time, so people will get it clear. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ were, you know, naturally speaking, mates. Born the same year, thereabouts, a few months apart. Close relatives. They were cousins. You know that. If I read John the Baptist, said, I didn't even know. So now this guy, you know, John the Baptist said, you mean this? He was surprised that he found out. I was reading that book of John again. I said, wow. They were mates. By the time John the Baptist was in the fullness of his ministry, so that the president, you understand my point? You get what I'm trying to explain? Was already arresting him, causing him personal trouble. So that people were already sent, the top religious men were sending delegations to go and talk to him. His cousin Jesus was just, I used to think he was in carpentry, but I found out later, he was not really in carpentry. Maybe he was doing carpentry, but he was already a rabbi. He was teaching. He was just somewhere just teaching, and maybe he was doing it full-time as a profession, I don't know, or he was doing it part-time. But nobody knew about him. Please tell your neighbor again, you're not getting meat. They were born the same period, but they attained the height of their ministries at different times. In fact, the Lord Jesus insisted on not entering into that ministry until John was dead. Go and read it. He began to gather disciples, but he was not preaching until he heard John had been taken into custody. That's what he waited for. Once John went into custody, he knew John was not coming back out. That was when he started. John ministered for a very long time. Jesus ministered for just 3 years and a half thereabout. And that was the end of it. John did for a very long time. Another comparison, Moses and Joseph. Joseph struggled small as a little boy, but was comfortable. Then he went into distress. At the age of 30, he hit the throne. And he stayed there until he was an old man. Moses, descendant of the same, you know, great-great-great-great-grandfather. At a young boy, he was in luxury. He had servants serving him all the time. At the age of 40, they sent him into the suffering that Joseph went into very early in life. It was at the age of 80 he returned. Please tell your neighbor again, you don't have any meat. You don't have any meat. How many of you know Harrison Ford? Harrison Ford had given up. You know, by the time I heard of Harrison Ford, he was already an old man. Not old, as you know, maybe he was like about 50 years of age. He had given up in acting. He tried. Nobody really agreed to give him any role. A lot of actors make it as their small, small boys. Then they vanish after. He made it. He was a middle-aged person when he finally made it. You know what we call making it? Very important. You don't have any mate. Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was alone. In fact, the only people he carried with him caused him trouble. Lot and co. Please, I hope you are finding what I'm trying to explain. You don't have any mate, too. My mates are building houses. Listen, let everybody do his assignment. Don't go around fighting people. Your mates are building. What is your mate to your mate? Can you say, thank God for Pastor Banky's wife? Say it now. My wife has never pointed out to me what my mates are doing. Not once. This year, you know, all of you know now, in another 6 weeks, my 13th year anniversary. I've been married for 13 years. This was not the original ring, but this finger has been ringed for 13 years. In 13 years, I can't remember my wife pointing out to me what my mates are doing. Apart from things like your mates are hugging their wives, though. You know, those kind of. But what a serious matter. No, not once. Even that once, I can't even remember her telling me that. If you want a hug, come. Don't tell me what my mates are doing. Just tell me what you want. Because the things I'm doing, my mates are not doing them. 5 o'clock on Tuesday, on a day like this, some of my mates are smoking. Yes. In the evenings when I'm rushing home to go and stay with my wife and children, some people are rushing home to the bar. Once my wife said, why are you finishing all the milk? I said, calculate the price of 2 bottles of Star. Any man that drinks 2 bottles of Star a day is not a drunkard. He's just a normal man. I said, calculate it. So make my milk allowance the price of 2 bottles of Star. Anything I work that's not beyond that, don't talk. I have mates who, instead of building a gigantic house, they drank it. You understand my point? It's in their stomach. In quotes. But because I don't have mates, they can be drinking their drink I'm going home. I'm drinking yogurt. The Lord is good. So that's why I said, thank God for Pastor Banky's wife. There's nothing like your mate. Some people will go for wedding. They see the kind gown with the girl wear. That girl's father is rich. The Lord is good. It's her mother's wedding, like I always say. It's not her wedding. The gown where they were waiting for send you. Like they always say, cut your coat according to what? Your cloth. No, not your size. Your cloth. That is, you know, I've seen all kinds of coats. You see the one I'm wearing now. No, be coat with this. Now, this is literal. This is literal. As a young boy, when I couldn't buy suits, you know, when I say young boy, I don't mean boy as in teenager. As a resident doctor in Lagos University Teaching Hospital, the only thing I wore was waistcoat. Believe me, I was the most handsome single man in the whole premises. All I wore was this. The day I was invited to one branch of Redeemed Christian Church of God, Satellite Town in Lagos, to come and preach, I still remember. I remember the trouser I wore that day and the waistcoat like this that I wore. I didn't have a proper suit. And that was around, listen, that would have been around 97, 98. How many years ago was that? I was like 14 years, right? So look at me. Am I looking like an old man yet? Come on, man, Steve. I mean, if I was single, I can see, you know what I mean? I can see make women fall for me, you know what I'm saying? So now, from this my handsome young state, remove 14 years. So what do you think I looked like that time? Yet I went into that church and, in quote, destroyed the whole place with the preaching of the word of God, wearing my waistcoat. Some people will save money to buy suits because they want to go and preach. I wear a waistcoat. The Lord is good. And listen to me, I was always grateful. You know, there are lessons I learned very early in life. I was always grateful. I say something that time, which is true. When I come out, the sky always looked very bright. I remember one day I go to church. Rain destroyed everywhere. Lagos Island. I didn't see where to hide. By the time I finished, I couldn't enter the premises. So I was wet because if I entered the church, that day I go freeze. I look, I said, oh God, see, I stand there. Is it good like this? But thank you, I'm going home. When I go back to Idiaraba, everywhere was flood. I had this nice pair of shoes I used to wear that time. Lord, I just put them for water. I just destroyed it. It took the shoe like 2 weeks to dry. I'm not kidding. 2 weeks. The water soaked it. And you put your foot down like this. The thing will squirt out like this with pattern. I sat down at home and gave the Lord thanks. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Tell your neighbor, that was then. But I hope you have what I said. Whining and complaining is not a part of Christianity. At that time, in fact, in my office, I think I gave the gist once. There's these women that, middle-aged women, they are typing pool. I didn't even know I had talked to somebody, they even knew. They said, I think so one of them said that, you're looking very nice. I said, yes. I said, you see, very soon, this is my nice looks. I'm going to catch one young woman, she'll marry me. So we're just joking. He said, no, look, forget, is this your mouth? That is, they knew my mouth so much, they told me, no, your mouth will do the work. You don't even need to look good. I mean, I was always bragging. So, but this is my wife that you all know. When I married her, she was like, gosh, which kind of man is this? That is before I married her, when we met. I talked about great things that God is doing. How life is very happy. You know, like I said, you know, LG, what is their life is good. When they adopted that thing, I said they should pay me money. I was saying life is good before LG bought over Gold Star. They didn't know what life was good. They just, their own was LG. Maybe it was something like Longissimo's, Gugula, something like that. I know what's like, but they overheard me say life is good. No, I'm serious. In the midst of my smallness, my answer to greeting, when they say, how are you? The answer was life is good. Never heard me whine and complain about what? If I want to complain, I'll go and pray. That's better. I remember the day from, I still remember that day very well. We were climbing Anthony Bridge. A friend of mine, childhood friend, He had this rickety old car, but he had a car. He had been working in a bank for some time. I was just finishing youth service. He studied banking and finance. I studied medicine. Just cut down after my youth service. So one day he came to see me. Ah, come, let's go out, man. Let's go somewhere. So I hopped into his car, and it was night. And he began to tell me about how our fathers ruined this country. How the government is spoiling it further. How there is no hope for the little ones. I said, this boy is earning money. I was not earning. He had a small little apartment of his own. I just came to stay with my cousin for a while. He had a car to come and take me out. I had a few downfalls to hop on anytime I wanted to go out. Yet he was, look at how, I remember that day, the car was so filled with unbelief that I stuck my head out, literally. Literal sticking off, of head, out of the window like this. So I could catch fresh, I don't know whether Lagos breeze can ever be fresh on an Antony Bridge. I don't know, but let's just assume it was fresh. But no, it was fresh of unbelief, you understand my point? And I remember I looked up and I said, Lord, I worship you because life is good. I remember that night very well. Physically speaking, he had more to thank God for. But I had the lesson. I'd been taught the word of God. Listen, God hates. Please, use the word hate. Tell your neighbor, hate. 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 God hates complaining. He hates whining. I don't mean, say this kind of thing, they irritate him. It go vex. So. No, I mean it's hatred. He was going to kill a whole nation of people because they were whining. Very important, too. Please, no be joke. Ask your neighbor, you want that? Did you ask somebody? I didn't see you. Ask somebody, you want that? Answer now. You answer, say no. Say then stop complaining. You know, I was watching a program once. Actually, I ordered the book. The book is on its way now. I should get it. Written by one very learned man. They did a survey and found out that you attain the max. Now, this is physical. This is not spiritual. This is just a physical thing, but there's a good lesson in it. They found out that on an income of 70-something thousand dollars per annum. Now, for Nigeria, don't calculate it in Naira because it has a different effect. You understand? I mean, 77,000, or let's say $10,000 in Nigeria is about 1.6 million, all right? But the effect is different. 1.6 million Naira in Nigeria is not the same as $10,000 in the US, all right? Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. So don't even try to calculate it in Naira. That's a lot of money. 1.6 million in Nigeria that's $10,000 on American, is actually far less than 1.6 million to a Nigerian. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Do you understand the logic? Yes, that's it. That's just the way it is. The amount of purchasing power it has there, for example, here, the rent, if you had to pay rent, will whack a good chunk of that money. All right? Relative to Nigeria, rent, that relative to America, rent is far cheaper here. There are little things that, all right? So, but just take it like this. It's not the same. So don't do that calculation in your mind. For me, the equivalent of it, like $10,000 in America, the equivalent of it in real expenditure power in Nigeria is maybe like 100, 250,000 thereabout. Now, I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere with all of these things. They found that 70-something thousand dollars was the, at that level, that's the maximum amount of happiness that you can buy with money. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, a man earning 77 thousand dollars a year was as happy as Bill Gates. That is, there was no potential for happiness to be realized further with more cash than you will get on that about that $77,000 in a year. Although we found that in the Bible long ago. For a man to eat and rejoice and say, this my labor is good, is a gift of God. It's not the amount of money, it is what? The gift of God. So if you think that the reason why you are so unhappy is because you've been telling your husband you need this thing and he has not bought it, it's a fat lie. The reason why you are unhappy is, which word do I use? Okay, let's do it like this. You just love to be unhappy. That's it. That is the reason. You can wake up in the morning and say, today is joy. Yes. And that's how it is. You just wake up in the morning and say, today, I'm happy. Somebody will bash your car that you just saved up to buy. But because the day you made up your mind, today is the day of joy, you will come out and look at it. Why did you bash my car like that? Don't you look when you're driving. Come on, don't bash my car like that next time, all right? Why? It's the day of joy. You made up your mind in the morning. It is the day of what? Joy. Let me give an example. My 10th anniversary, that day gone, the day that it made 10 years since I've been to death do me part with my wife. You understand my point? And we're feeling very cool, feeling very wife. So I wore a smart jacket, a nice pair of shoes. My wife dressed up, said, come, let's just go around and feel very happy. As we came out of the house, I happened to have a little boy who was about 2 years, who took my very nice Kia Optima, bought brand new a few months before, you know, still shining, that kind of thing. When you park, you go look, nod, say, yes, God, I try. The guy just took the car. While I were dressing up inside, he was there designing the body. He was designing, like, why is this your car just black like this? Let's give you some pattern. Let's add some life to it. So he draw a crocodile head on one side. The boy was just like this. He took the two doors on one side. It's still there. You can't look at it. Till now people say, ah, okay, what happened to your car? I said, you're just seeing this thing after almost 3 years. The guy finished designing the car properly. Where the one woman I used to work for us that time, like we call it nanny or something, but he used to come clean the house, domestic worker. She was the first, I think, to sight him. Hey! She shouted. Then my cousin Sheun came down and sat on the floor. Like, yay. What is this that thou has done? So they were incredible, like, what will this man say today? I remember I just came out. I looked at the car. I just laughed. I told my wife, let's go. But I said, he's a small boy, I have to teach him not to do it again. So I just carried him, come here. So I took one, so I don't know what I just flogged his legs more. Hey, he's like crying. Came to the side. You see, it's the day of joy. If you like to bash the car, this guy ain't going to feel bad. You get my point? This is my 10th wedding anniversary. Set the car on fire. God is my witness. I will have quenched the fire, carried the carcass to one side, gone out. This is the day of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're not sad because you're not getting money. The reason why you are sad is because you think it is good to be sad when you are broke. And you have made up your mind, I must be sad. After all, I'm broke. So wake up in the morning and you are feeling happy. You say, you are broke. It is true. You start feeling sad. You can cultivate a habit of being happy. What did I say? You can cultivate the habit of what? Being happy. Listen to me. God hates whining and he hates complaining. And I want every single one of us to stop that nonsense. Now, listen, I'm not saying that it's not good, though. You know, if you whine and complain now, your blood pressure may go up, you may have a stroke and just die. No, that is true. But I'm saying God hates it. What did I say? I didn't hear you. He hates whining and complaining. There are too many things in life to be grateful for. I told you another reason why people complain is they are comparing themselves with their imaginary mates. Mates they don't have. Mates that don't know they are there. You know, have you noticed something? If you wear a new shirt, I think everybody's looking at it. And you wear a new shirt as you are passing. Somebody's looking at, good morning. Yes, yes, good morning. It's Evan Houston. Yes, how far? The guy like, what's Evan Houston? Okay, sorry. Where did you say you were going? The man is asking for a direction. He didn't know you're wearing a new shirt. He has never seen you before. How would he know the shirt is new? Are you getting my point? That the sum of these reactions is what? It's in the mind. I just got there today. That my same dress, I've been wearing it all the time. And I've been telling my husband I need a new one. Everybody just looking at me.
Nobody was looking at you. They did not notice. You were the one looking at yourself through their eyes. The Lord is good. Tell your neighbor, be happy. Okay, anybody who came here said, I hope you're happy now. Don't worry, they didn't report you to me. It's the Holy Spirit that just speaking through me. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Anyway, I don't have much extra to say today anyway on our main topic. I just felt like dropping that one for us again, I believe, by the Holy Spirit. Don't forget what I said. Jonah would have been digested if he did not remember to thank God. What happened? He was drowning. He wasn't where he wanted to be yet, but at least he was no longer where he used to be. Are you getting my point? And he began to give God thanks for the amount of deliverance that at least he had experienced at that particular point in time. And that was what stimulated the stomach of the fish, and the fish vomited him onto dry land. And if you don't learn the lesson of Jonah, then you are going to be digested. But if you learn the lesson of Jonah, then you are also going to land in your own dry land of victory. Did I hear an amen? Amen. All right, let's finish what we're discussing about the laws of confessions. We'll read the one we read last time, do a quick review, take a few confessions, and then be out of here. 1 John chapter 1, I said I was going to complete with this, with what I call the law of illumination. Let me just read most of it. I'll start from verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Please, while I read this, I want you to understand what he said when he said, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have, from verse 6 said, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now notice this, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Notice in verse 6, it says that if we have fellowship with him, all right, that will mean that we are practicing the truth. It was saying that if we still walk in darkness, we are lying and do not practice the truth. So what he's calling him practicing of the truth is the fact that we recognize the sin that is in us as we walk with him, fellowshipping with him. And he now said in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now I said in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin, that is, that you may not continue in sin. If anyone continues in sin, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Let me just stop there. Now, please, there's another one I want us to read quickly. Before we read it, let's just review what we said before. The one we're going to read is from the book of Job. This is what we've been talking about, the laws of confessions. There are different kinds of confessions, and specifically, I broke them into like two broad groups. The one we have been talking about since last week is the confession of sin. Now, there are different laws that guide confessions. We started by talking about the law of is it faith and salvation, or righteousness and salvation? Please remind me if I jump anyone. Then we'll talk about the law of what? Not personal control. That was like the third one. Okay, anyway, we talked about different ones. The law of faith and salvation. There's the law of a spiritual weaponry. Then there is the law of personal control. Then we'll talk about the law of release, which was what we talked about last time. And that's when we began to talk about the law, the issue of a confession of sin. All right? And we said, let me just say, remind us briefly of what we said about that. That grace is that God is the one working in your life. So what God does is that if something is supposed to change in you, he wants to do the work of changing you by himself. So we read from this book of John here that what we need to do is to confess. And we read from Jeremiah that Jeremiah said all you need to do is acknowledge. That is, confession is not a bad feeling of I'm crying, things are too horrible, how come I've been like this. No, confession just means just acknowledge your iniquity. You understand my point? One of the major problems, please let me just drop this one as a continuation of that, that people have had, and I mean to emphasize this again and again, because one problem in Christianity is a place of works. People try to use works to get things from God, and we must not ever try to do that. It is wrong. One of the problems with people I've had with this confession of sin matter is that when they are feeling so grieved, you understand, they want to do things so as to repay for the times of iniquity. Do you understand my point? Maybe a young man used to be in a cult, you understand? So he now decides. Now, you see, these are unconscious things. People don't realize it's just part of the religious nature of mankind. Because he has done a lot of bad things, being a cult member, after giving his life to Christ, he suddenly has the assignment to go and win every cult member to Jesus Christ. Now, there are two ways, you know, that could come about. It could be because he really has the passion. Are you getting my point? And he's feeling bad because, you see, you know what these guys are in, and you really want them to come out of it. And that is good. If that's what is going on with him, that is very, very good. But some, it's the other way around. They feel like, okay, for all the bad, bad things we have done, we have to do some good, good things to counterbalance it, you know, and pay God back. All right, so if we stole something before, we should go and give an offering. So if I stole 10 naira, let me go and give an offering of 50 naira. And 50 naira is much more than 10 naira, don't you think so? So that should really, really please the heart of God. So you see, God, I did try. Let me say to you again, in case you don't know it, that's an insult. Please, you know, these are like people preaching with me because it's after walking, before you fall asleep. You understand? So tell your neighbor, that's an insult. What did I call it? It's an insult. It's an insult. If you ever try to pay God back, it's what? An insult. God said, what should you do? Just acknowledge it was bad. It was wrong. Only acknowledge your iniquity. Don't give me anything. Don't preach to anybody for me. I didn't send you, you know, on that premise. Don't give me an offering. I didn't send you. I don't want it. Don't pray. I don't want any prayer. Stay up all night. Disturb your neighbors. I don't want it. Don't buy megaphone and put it on your car and put it on the body of the car. Kingdom vehicle. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. I don't want another embarrassment. The one you have done before is bad enough. This good works now, you want to spoil it further. No, I'm serious. I'm very serious about this. In fact, the next 10 church services you go for, don't give an offering. I know you are rich. I don't want your money. Naaman came. Did Elisha collect anything from him? Did he collect anything from him? No. It's not every time God wants money. It's pastors that want money every time. God doesn't always want money. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes that's the problem. People, they come, you know, repent and have a feeling bad. All the years we were serving the devil. Now we're going to double serve God. Because if you say that, I beat somebody. Just say serving the devil was what? Bad. Simple. Only what? Acknowledge your iniquity. One of the most annoying groups of people I have seen are Christians that are trying to do good. What did I say? Christians that are trying, this is that word, trying to do good. A Christian that good is coming out of him is a good person. A Christian that good is coming out of her is a very good person. But when I see religious people trying to do good, they smell. Yes, spiritually is a bad odor. Many times I've wanted to tell some of them, will you shut up? Examples are jumping through my head. I've seen many. They go to church, maybe the church emphasizes a lot of outward works. You see one jaguda of yesterday come to you today. If you say, boy, how far? He says, as a child of God, things are never far. He starts preaching to you. They can be very annoying. I still remember when one guy was talking. He said, it is wrong for a Christian to backbite. I said, I will physically bite you now if you don't shut up. You know, I feel like I didn't tell him that literally, but you know, that's the kind of feeling you have. Don't look at this stupid religiosity that somebody is just trying to, because his sins have not left him alone. He's trying to pay God back, so everywhere will go. We're going to be nice. So when you see a policeman wants to collect Roger,
He said, in Jesus' name, nobody's going to roger in my presence. He goes, won't beat you. Why? Because he's forgotten that the Bible says, only acknowledge your iniquity. Stop trying to pay back. God says simply, in Christ Jesus, I have forgiven you. If you try to pay, it's an insult. You are telling me I don't know what I'm saying. Don't pay me back. I don't want your money. Your money is dirty. I hope you understand it. I don't want your money. Don't pay me back. I have paid. I'm telling you I have paid. What are you trying to do now? Every bit of payment you make, you are insulting the amount of settlement that I have that I've engineered on for your sake. You are insulting the blood of Jesus Christ. Only acknowledge what? Your iniquity. That's what we discussed last time. Please, we must emphasize it. See, people are trying, you know, I think it can be very, I've said, oh God. Some people preach some kind of gospel. Anyway, let me not go there. Listen, this is what I'm trying to say. Forgiveness of sin is gotten by acknowledgement of sin. That is, what God is saying is simply just accept. You were wrong, Abby. You do it again? No, sir. Was it bad that you did it? Yes. So this doing is a bad doing? Yes. This principle is wrong? Yes. And that is why it is possible to commit sin and not physically commit it. I don't know whether you hear what I said. You can be a sinner without doing anything wrong. All you need to do is watch television and agree that it is good to do that. And that's it, you're a sinner too. I don't know what I heard I said. Just people doing things, say, I don't blame them. Under the current circumstance that they find themselves in, a boy that does not have a job can go into Form 9. You have never defrauded anybody. You are a good and honest church deacon. But the time judgment for 419 comes, you will get a heavy portion. Why? Because one day you said, it is because of the economy. It is okay. Are you seeing my point? That is why, look, with sin is not I did. That's why Jesus came and said, listen, if you hate your brother without a cause, that's you are liable. You haven't killed anybody. So when God wants to forgive, it's not go and undo it. That's not his own. Because the main issue was not what he did doing. It was the thinking. So once the thoughts are changed, once they are rearranged, you just say, no, this is wrong. That's it. And you kneel down and say, Lord, I thought like this, therefore I did like this. Now I am saying to you, I am sorry. Because I did this, I have recognized that this is wrong. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us of the sin and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. Let me just say this again. Although I feel I will be beyond my scope for today, and I have to close shortly. When we're talking about cleansing of all unrighteousness, forgiveness of sin, forgiveness is not just, okay, don't worry about it. You know, there's forgiveness, you understand? Uh-huh. Just that is, okay, I don't worry about it. It's good, that's forgiveness. But with God, it's beyond that. Forgiveness means, don't worry about it, I will take care of the consequences. I don't know what I get my point. It's not just, okay, forget it. I'm not asking you again. You understand? Okay, you threw the stone and you broke the glass of somebody's house. I'm sorry I threw the stone. All right? But the glass is still broken. When God says to you, I've forgiven you, what he's saying is that I will buy the glass and replace it. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Forgiveness is not just, okay, overlook. No. It is an active introduction of a power to solve the consequences of the action. Please, don't forget that. I don't want to go into it now, all right? But what I said I will talk about today, which is what I call the law of illumination, which is why I read this, is that, you know, I began to talk about it last time, that there was something I used to do, and all my colleagues and I, we used to do it. And then one day, I was reading the Bible, and the scriptures just made it clear that, listen, if you know a man can't see you, or he can't hear you, therefore you begin to rain, you know, curses on him because you know he can't hear. Therefore, that if you do that, you have fallen into iniquity. I read that scripture and I said, this thing that we have been doing is wrong. Are you getting my point? Just the reading of that scripture just tells us simply is wrong. And I said that the law of illumination, all right, let me talk about that. That's the conclusion. Just a few minutes and I'll be out of here. The law of illumination simply means that every man's ways are right in his own eyes, but as his fellowships with God the Father,
he begins to show him, he begins to show her that which is actually wrong in their lives. And John was saying, it is not possible to walk with God, you understand my point, and not have a continual discovery of areas in your life where you need to make improvements. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, let me say this. We all have one problem or the other in life. Yes, I know some people say, by faith, praise God, I don't have any problem. Amen? Yeah, that's maybe you don't have any problem. But actually, you have a problem thinking like that. That's a matter of fact. What God just says, listen, you may not know it now, because if you have no problems at all, you'll be exactly what God created you to be right now. And as a matter of fact, you are not. Even Paul, after he had preached, he explained something. He said, I'm reaching forward towards a goal. Are you getting my point? You know, Mike Murdock says once that he heard a man speak, and the man said, he'd been in ministry for 40 years. If he had to do everything, he would do it the same way again. He said, it means you have learned nothing in 40 years. You can't tell me you know everything now, all right? You knew everything at the beginning that you know now. That you must have learned something over the last 40 years. And that's what I mean by we all have one problem or the other. But the Bible says that every man's way is right in his own eyes. That is, if you're there and saying, I have no problem, I'm not doing anything out of order, if I, Pastor Banky, stands up and tell you that, look, everything we are doing, Kingdom Word, is just perfect, and the way I'm doing my life is just perfect, it's just simply, I'm telling you simply, that I do not realize what it is that I'm doing wrong. It is, you see, I cannot be correct in every aspect. It is not possible. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. Now, I read a joke once. A woman said that, I heard our parents can't see anything wrong with their children. That's surprising. If my children had anything wrong with them, I would have seen it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, I am confirming just what is a common saying, that parents never see anything wrong with their children. And that's a matter of fact. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. And listen, one of the things you must understand, let me just explain this to you, how you relate with people, is that, you know, my wife's not around today, she traveled. But I tell her all the time that, look, you want to change the world. All right? You will soon realize that you can't change the world. I realized it long ago. Before, I will argue with people and try to persuade them. But I've now come to an understanding that only God can persuade a man. Only God can make a woman understand what the person needs to understand. A human being can't do it. If I think I'm right, you know why I think I'm right? Because I actually think I'm right. I don't know what I get my point. And you look, only God can open my eyes so that I will see that which is wrong. Please, the opening of the eyes is a very important spiritual principle. It's called wisdom. People can be, look, when God called Isaiah, the first thing he told him, he said, go and render the ears of these people dull. He said to them, hear and don't understand. See and don't perceive. And that was it. Isaiah will be telling them things that are going to happen. They won't understand it. He'll be speaking in what will appear to you and me as clear language. They won't be able to, that is, they can't make sense out of anything that the man is saying. Why? It's a spiritual principle. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you understanding. What am I saying? We've talked about the law of release. Remember? What's the law of release? Confess your sins. Acknowledge your iniquities. Then God takes that thing out of your life and cures you of the consequences. And this is what I'm making. Where you are right now, there are things that you are doing wrongly. There are thoughts you are thinking wrongly. There are things you hold on to rigidly. It's the reason why you have been on one spot for the last 3 years. And listen, get ready for another 10 years on that spot until that thought pattern changes. Life is spiritual. You know, we keep on saying it. We tackle things from a spiritual perspective. We don't tackle them from a physical perspective. Life is what? Spiritual. Listen, the outward play in your life is directed by spiritual forces. Once there was a woman, a man called them and said to them simply, the Holy Spirit said, I should tell you, forgot exactly what the exact words he used, so that the reason why you have not been able to conceive is that you are very rude to your husband. That's all. That you are too disrespectful. Doctors can investigate from that to tomorrow. And let me tell you something. They will find something. What did I say? They will find something. You know, I'm a pathologist. Some people come and say that when I first came to Enugu that time, yes, they heard that there's a man who can find out why somebody died. The Holy Spirit gave me one wisdom one day. Once we come and he's talking to me, somebody died, they need to have an autopsy done and all of that. I said, please, though, I hope you know if it's witchcraft. I won't find it, though. I'm not kidding, though. Do you know most times they go and they don't come back? I said, I will not find the witch. I will not find the craft. But I will find the weapon of the witchcraft, which in medicine is called a disease. So, the witches can gather and say, hey, he go die today. Oh, he's falling down now. Oh. And the man will die. Go and read John G. Lake's story. He saw a man that they gathered to do juju for. And the man began to have... Anyway, he was having a heat stroke. Because he went to go and watch. He quickly jumped down from his horse, prayed for the man, and the man was delivered. The man would have died, and the doctor would have certified that this man died of circulatory failure following this. And they will give it to you. It's called the weapon used by the witch. It does not change the fact that the real cause is what? Spiritual. What did I say? It's spiritual. The real cause is spiritual. People hang around one spot. God says, listen, it is because of the way you are thinking. And that's why one of the prayers, and that's what I'm leading us into again. One of the prayers you must pray all the time is the prayer of Elihu. Quickly open to it. Let's just read it. Job 34. He said, for has anyone, verse 31. He said, for has anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. He said, teach thou me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. Teach thou me what I do not see. Everybody, please read it out. Teach thou me what I do not see. He said, if I have done... That's he put the word if, because he wouldn't know if he does not know. Are you getting my point? If he does not know it is wrong, he would not know that he has done wrong. But it does not mean it is wrong. It does not mean it is not wrong. There was something that Jesus said once. He said, the servant that knows to do good and does not do it will be given many stripes. But the one that does not know to do good and therefore does not do it will get few stripes. He didn't say we will not get any stripes. Many people are suffering the consequences of things that they are doing, and the thing is injecting death into their system. Deliverance is in enlightenment. Deliverance is when God gives them information. That is, the law of release is tied to the law of illumination. Until you have illumination, you can't go for release. That's what I'm trying to explain. Abimelech took Abraham's wife. Can you remember the story? And God said, this guy is a good man. He shouldn't just die like this. So one day he was sleeping, and God shows up in a dream and said, oh boy, you're a dead man. The guy said, dead? Why? You know me? He said, ah, you took a prophet's wife. And you know what God said to him? No, what he said to God, you know how I deal with integrity? I do everything that is right. I don't do that which is wrong. God said, I know. And that is why I have come to tell you. That is, the fact that you were doing it in integrity does not change the fact that it will kill you. What your integrity is buying for you is this information I've come to give you. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, your integrity is buying you information. It's buying you time. It didn't say I'm going to kill you. It said you're dead. You're dead already. You don't die. The moment you took the woman, you were made there on the spot. I just suspended the death. It's over your head. Why? Because I know you're a man of integrity. Therefore, I have come to give you information. By that time, all the women in the house were already suffering. You know that. All disease had entered into the home. It's called few stripes. He did not know. But they were already suffering the stripes. They were already being flogged one after the other. Then God gave him what? Information. That is why it's important you pray in your life every day. That which I do not see, teach me. Listen, many times people are suffering for things that they are buying with their hands. They don't even know those things are out of order. And that is why you have to go for Bible studies like this evening. So that you will hear information and your life will be transformed. There are people that, listen, you know, that's why I dislike, listen, I will say it to you straight. If you go to a church where they pray against your enemies every day, you are you are going to a church that's not blessing you, I think you should stop. I'm not kidding about that. You know, did I mention the name of your church? I didn't mention it. But if you go to church, all your problems is your enemies, you have been deceived. You know why you have been deceived? Your pastor is also deceived. He does not know. Go back and tell him that they said to you, your enemies are not the problem. Go and read the script. People wake up in the morning. You know, what I'm saying this is that they keep on fighting these enemies. The problem does not go away. Why? Because the problem is not a problem of enemies. It's a problem of Abimelech taking Abraham's wife, not knowing that she was Abraham's wife. But the whole household is suffering because Abimelech did not know. I did not know is not good enough an excuse. Are you getting my point? That one only buys one thing for you, God's patience and information. And God will now give it to you so that you can now do the law of release. The moment they told him this is the issue, he said, I'm sorry. You know, I don't do things like this. Instantly, and you know, Abraham had a lot of fault in it. Many people are blaming the country for how they are living their lives. Fine. Be blaming Abraham for telling you lies. Everything in Nigeria is their excuse why they are doing what they are doing. It's called, I'm coining a word for it now. It's called justifying taking a man's wife because of the prophet's lie. You will still die. One thing, you know, I say all the time, I think I said it last time. Let me say it again. One thing you must never do in life is make excuses. Just acknowledge. What did I say? Just acknowledge. That's what I said. What did I say? Just acknowledge. That's it. Making excuses does not work. Because everybody has the reason why he's doing what he's doing. Does not make it right. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about, the law of illumination. This is the duty we have as believers. We must go for understanding. And we must pray for understanding. Because you know, the story I told you last time, until somebody opened my, until the scriptures I was reading actually, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see that this thing you guys are doing, all right, is out of order. I did not realize it. But the moment I read it in the scriptures, I simply acknowledged that that was, and I called one of my friends. I said, "See, you read this particular scripture." He happens to be a believer also. I remember he said, "My God, that this Bible is deep." That he didn't cross his mind that this was not good until we saw it in the Word of God. No wonder it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and illumination unto my path. It shows me where to put my feet and where not to put them. That is the law of illumination. Before you can go for the law of release, you must have understanding. And let me say to you again, this is why, listen, I say, look, Christians, you can't afford to be mentally lazy. What did I say? You can't afford to be mentally lazy. You can't. I think the major problem in Christianity is this mental laziness. People don't want to sit down and listen. Just go there and pray. Shout. This year, it is over. 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 You say that one like 21,000 times. It does not make it over. If the thing that is keeping it there is there, it is not over. Are you getting my point? If you have understanding, you have insight, and you break the power of whatever it is that's keeping it there, once it is over, we solve the whole problem. Like, you know, I say it all the time. A young man is planning to get married. A young woman is planning to get married, or you are married. Please, you must, look, you can't say this is how they always did it. My friends do it like this. My father said this. Look, if the scriptures don't say that, you will be injecting death into your marriage, whichever way you are doing it, that the scripture did not say, that's the way to do it. A young man just leaving school, beginning to earn money for the first time. The word of God has clear things to do with money. If you don't do it like that, you know, my pastor said something once, that's Pastor Kojin Lagos. He said, you may know what you have gained, but you won't know what you have lost. Many people are doing things that are losing for them. You understand my point? They are losing on a daily basis, but they don't know. They don't know. They can't even confess that this is wrong so that God can pour grace into their lives so as to help them change. They don't have any understanding. They don't know. But it is our duty to go for understanding. That's what I'm saying. That's my message today. This is summary of it. Let me summarize at the end. You know, you don't know, only distinguishes the number of stripes you will get from plenty. That's the small one from the plenty one. But get stripes, you will get. You cannot confess it out of your life and operate what we call the law of release until you have understanding. Your duty as a believer is to constantly pray for illumination. That's why I call it the law of illumination. Until you have understanding, or until you know that this is what it's supposed to be, you cannot utter words to God so as to take it out of your life. That's what I'm saying. And don't forget, there are things, there's a reason why you are where you are right now. There are many reasons. Sometimes they are very good reasons. Other times, when I say good reasons, for example, Jesus was in the wilderness for a while. Was it a good thing or a bad thing? Okay, now we don't know how to answer. Yes, I don't blame you. It was not feeling good, but it was good and necessary. You understand what I'm saying? Israel was in the wilderness for a period. Was it a good thing or a bad thing? Let me answer. If they had been there for just a few days, it would have been a good thing. But staying there for 40 years was bad. Do you get my point? But why were they there for 40 years? Because of what? Unbelief. Listen, let me just say this and I close with it. It's a simple thing. If you feel stagnated, go and pray. That which I do not see, teach me. Like I say, sometimes it is that God, the simplest of the understandings you will get is God say you are not stagnated. You are moving. You know, God can tell you that. You may think you are stagnated, but you are moving. I remember I have a personal testimony there. Maybe after my youth service, I was persuaded at a time that there was a problem. But just for a short period. Oh no, let me put it like this. If you look at it from outside, you will look and say, this guy is not going anywhere. I looked for work I did not find. Physically, there was a day I got a job, they took it from me the next day. I just finished NYC. I'm a young medical doctor, just finished NYC. But I say it all the time, and it's a matter of fact. It was just about 8 months, 9 months. But if you are sitting down here today listening to me, it's because of that 8, 9 months. If that period did not happen, we won't be here today. I just finished youth service, and God said, where are you going? You want to go and work? I've not finished training you yet. So, physically speaking, I wasn't doing anything. But if you look at it closely, I say it like this. In 8 months, I listened to Bishop Oyedepo alone for over 500 hours. One man. I didn't count Kenny Higgin, Mike Murdoch. I didn't count Derek Prince. I didn't count any other person. Just one man. All the money I had, the little money I had, I used them to buy books and tapes. I did not get a certificate at that period for having gone to Bible school. But trust me, I got a spiritual certificate. That's what I mean by you may appear stagnated and God says, you are not stagnated. You are in a particular phase. Other times, God says, you are stagnated. You are seriously stagnated. You have been circling this Mount Seir long enough. It is time to turn and move northwards. You understand? But why can't you turn? Why are you just going round and round in circles? Because there is a stronghold that is holding you down. My time is up, so I can't really begin to analyze that. Strongholds are thought patterns, and they manifest in behavioral patterns. That's what strongholds are. They are what? Thought patterns, but they manifest in behavioral patterns. That's what strongholds are. There are people that don't believe that God can take care of their future. Therefore, the way they run after money is an embarrassment to heaven. Everything must be converted to cash. If they meet somebody today, it's converting the relationship to cash. If you dash them something, they will sell it for cash. If you give them something, they will convert. Everything must be converted to money. Why? They don't believe. Because, you know, if you have faith in God, there's a way you don't do things. They don't believe that God has hold of their future. So that stronghold of unbelief is manifesting in their physical love for money. And God says, he that loves money will never have enough of it. The guy will, if you just sit down one day and ask the guy, all this you're running around doing deals and everything after these 6 years, what has it gotten you more than this car that breaks down every day? It has cost relationships. Everybody that, you don't have any friend that's more than 2 years old that is with you. All your friends are 2 years or younger. Because by the third year, they have seen, you have shown to them you can't be trusted with money. It's not like you don't really think you love money. You're just afraid. Your father wasn't rich. You remember how you and your brother suffered, and you have vowed it will not happen again. Except that that does not mean anything. It will happen again and again. If you don't want it to happen again, what do? You go the Jabez size style. And we have completed the gospel. It's actually much easier than we think. You just take a chair, kneel down in the corner. It's 5 minutes. Kneel down. Lord, remember, there was a time I was so hungry, I cried. And I was only 12. It's not good. I don't want it to happen to my children. Please don't let it happen to my children. Thank you very much. You get up and live a normal life. Believe me, you'll be rich. Anybody who loves money will be poor. It's worse when they are Christians. Any Christian that loves money will never have. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What am I saying? Strongholds. Sometimes we don't know it's there. That's why that's the preaching. So I said, sometimes sit down and just go think it. Because what the Holy Spirit does at times like this is that it just brings up something in your mind. Sometimes we say that, hey, some people come and say, I think there's a curse working in my life. There's a curse working in my life. The last five men that showed interest in me, good brothers, though, usually after like 6 weeks of the relationship, something will just go wrong. This is the problem with Christians. They now go, somebody will now pray, which village are you from? Oh, there is a Mami water spirit that was trying to cross from River Niger to the Atlantic. It got stuck on the way. Your village is around that axis. We will break the power today. Once you believe it, you're in trouble. Listen, if you're a child of God, it's a fat lie. What did I say? If you're a child of God, it is a fat lie. No Mami water spirit is disturbing you. Go home and pray. It is a simple thing. Listen, let me tell you the truth. It's a stronghold that's manifesting your behavioral pattern. Call those six men. You will see they have the same complaint against you. All of them. You can't change the behavior. You can only change what? The thought pattern. And how you do it is, you kneel down, you pray. Once the word of God enters, he alters it. As it works for women, it works for men like that also. Ah, pastor, you won't believe. I think there's a custom. They swear for my grandpapa, say all the sons no go married. How your papa take born you? I've warned you. I've warned you. All these people that are always analyzing your genealogies to minister to you, they are deceiving you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anybody that sits you down to analyze the genealogy of your family to break a power of the devil over your head does not know the power of Christ. Sit down, come. Any old woman in your village, please show me one village that does not have one old woman. Some people are not happy with this, your progress. And you think that's revelation. Have you ever seen any man that everybody is happy with his progress? It pains me because people are deceived every day. That's why I keep on saying this thing. He prepares a table before me. Have you ever heard that say he first killed all of them first so that I can chop a load? He prepares a table before me in the presence. Let them be alive and well. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Forget, you're not cursed. You're not keep on saying that. There's no curse working in your life. None. Just get to that point and say, Lord, please, oh, there's an issue. What is it? That which I do not know, teach thou of me. And sometimes you see so simple. God will just say, you have an Islamic mentality towards women. So what do I call Islamic mentality? Men are created by God. Women are a mistake. Now that's Islamic mentality, Taliban mentality. Taliban believes that a woman shouldn't go to school. And God says, okay, I know you are not a Muslim. I know you are not in Afghanistan, neither are you in Pakistan. You are in Nigeria, you go to church. But that thing is in your medulla oblongata. It just releases itself once in a while. In small comments you pass, in your attitude, there are people who say, can you believe I was talking? That woman also got up and spoke. He has a BSc, that woman has a PhD. He's 28. The woman is 42. But he still believes. He's deep inside his heart. And he's wondering why no woman won't marry him. Who they Chris? According to Mike Murdock, it is perverse for a man to pursue pain. The woman has seen you. No. Now this one. Thank you very much. In Jesus' name, I remain single. Child and marry this one. And I know the thing is that unless God reveals it to you, you'll just be carrying that fibrotic disorder of your medulla oblongata about. You don't realize it. The thing is causing problems all around you. Because in Christianity, it's a fat lie. They are co-heirs with Jesus Christ, whether they are male or female. That's what the Bible says. You don't realize that. God says, no, I ain't giving any of my daughters. Forget it. They are too good. I don't want any man that will treat them like Osama bin Laden or any of his brothers. You know the way some of our guys on that side, they treat women. God says, no, I won't let that continue. Your great-grandfather did it, taught your grandfather, taught your father, and you have learnt it. You want to carry it into the church? I will soon shoot somebody. So as to prevent me shooting somebody, let me just leave you the way you are. Are you getting what I'm saying? The law of what? Illumination. So we can enter into that of release. Now, I stop. Amen? I'm stopping now. Let's bow down our heads. We are sharing the grace. Father, we thank you for your word that has come for today, that has been a blessing to every one of us. We thank you. May your name be glorified in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray one simple prayer for everyone who's present here, listen to this voice or listen to this on a tape, on CD, on the internet, wherever it is, or somebody's even reporting it. Give that person illumination in that area where he's been circling the mountain and not moving anywhere in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, every man's way you said is right in his own eyes. Lord, but the word of God is living and active, able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Lord, reveal by your word the thoughts and the intents of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, let's not suffer like Abimelech because we are doing that which we do not know is out of order. Have mercy and give us revelation in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let your word manifest in breakthrough for everyone present and listening to it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare to you that safety is your portion in Jesus' name. As you go home, the peace of God is with you. And when you get to that house, say to that house, peace be upon this home. And listen, the sick in that house will be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Cherub brethren, the word works. God bless you.